Welcome back to the Morning Hookup. Had a great time with my guy Will Wilson on a Tuesday. Hope your morning's off to a great start wherever you are. If you get a chance, maybe get out there. It's going to be a nice day, like in the mid-60s. Maybe the wind won't blow as much.
Maybe. But you know how it is around here.
Yeah, I know.
We just get a nice day and it's windy.
Let's bring on our next guest, one we love having every Tuesday, Nate Klaus, HuskerOnline.com. Nate, how's it going, my man? Nate, you there?
Nate, you got us?
Nate?
Uh-oh. All right, let me check some things out.
So we're going to be talking spring game with Nate.
He's there now.
There he is, Nate Klaus.
Okay, so here's what happens.
All right.
Sometimes the phone, sometimes I don't put the phone down onto the handheld thing correctly, and that's what happened. Nate, I apologize.
Nate's like, I'm here.
Yeah, I could hear you guys, but I'm like, this doesn't sound right, but I can still kind of hear you guys. I was looking at my phone like, okay, did I do something wrong here?
Did I hit the mute button somehow?
I don't think so. Nah, it's just Will being an idiot.
Hey, Nate, welcome in, man. How's it going?
Tuesday morning.
Yeah, it is, right? It is. We made it past Monday, though. That's a bonus.
But hey, that's baby steps.
Yeah, right. Hey, Nate, I was looking at... You put a great picture out on Twitter, and it was the food you cooked a couple days ago. How'd the wings turn out? It was your first time doing wings, right?
Yeah, first time doing wings on the smoker, and they were phenomenal. they turned out better than I could have imagined. So definitely going to be doing that a lot more over the course of this summer, for sure. They were nice and crispy and a lot of flavor, and definitely very, very happy with how those turned out.
That's awesome. There's nothing better than wings on the smoker, especially when they have that nice crisp on them, like the nice crispy outer edge. Mm. And you hear that crunch when you take the bite.
Yes.
Oh, man, I might do that tonight.
They look great.
Now so good. Yeah, now I'm hungry.
Now I'm inspired and starving right now.
Thank you.
So, hey, Nate, going back to Saturday, we had the spring game. We've given our thoughts. Give us some of your takes. I know it's really hard because it's our one glimpse minus the practice that we all got to see, or some of us got to see. But it's really hard to make the evaluation. Obviously, there's been a lot of evaluations made at quarterback, receiver. I mean, you go on down the line. Some of your quick takes on and just kind of go down maybe quarterback, receiver, and running back.
Yeah, you know, it's. Like you said, it's really hard to get too specific, just because, you know, it's a practice, and there were some guys that were not even playing in the game, and the first half was just kind of thud, and you know, they weren't taking anyone to the ground. But I'll say this: I think Adrian looked good. Mm-hmm. I liked the way he was throwing the football. I liked the way that he looked just physically, and the way that he was running. I feel like he slimmed down a little bit, and he looks quick. You know, not necessarily. I don't know if how much faster he is, but man, he looked a lot quicker. Yep. And so, and I think that's a big thing going forward. You know, and I saw something on Twitter. Somebody had kind of you know, teamed up two videos. One video from the Colorado game of his freshman year, and then a video of one of his runs from the spring game, and where they were playing at the same time, and he looked just as quick or maybe even a little quicker than he did as a freshman, and that's all we've been talking about is, hey, can Adrian kind of get back to that freshman form? And so we'll see. But and then I was impressed with the wide receivers. Yes. You know, Omar Manning is a big. I mean, he's just different. You know, I mean, he stands out. And you know, obviously, you'd kind of like to have that one drop that he had back. But you know, between he and Samori Toure, you know, and even some guys like a Will Nixon, that's somebody that stood out to me. You know, I think that there's a lot of weapons there, you know, at that wide receiver position. And then with running back, you know, I think they've got a lot of capable bodies there. It's just a matter of who really steps up. I really liked what I saw from Gabe Irvin. I think he's got some juice to him, some playmaking ability. I liked what I saw from Sevion Morrison. You know, Marvin Scott is somebody that could be, you know, a pretty consistent, productive player for him. And of course, you know, you can't mention the running backs without talking about Jacquez Yant. I mean, he's out there trucking dudes. And, you know, and Ryan Held said it, you know, leading up to the spring game, that Yant is pushing about 245 right now. And he said if he can get down to 235 pounds, he could be a real problem in the Big Ten. And I tend to agree with that. I think that, you know, I think with what Nebraska's wanting to do in terms of getting a little bit more physical in the run game, getting more of a downhill run game established, he could very well be somebody maybe who's not a starter necessarily, but who could carve out a little bit of a niche and, you know, and maybe get himself 10 to 12 carries a game and be a thumper between the tackles, especially when Nebraska is needing that. And I think that that would be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, especially if, you know, worst comes to shove, you know, we can go to Yant, and it's, you know, at least a little option that we could rely on. Nate, obviously, you know, the first half was two-hand touch, you know, it was a little boring, but, you know, you have to do what you got to do. Give me your thoughts on the defensive offensive lines. Obviously, you know, with the two-hand touch thing, I feel like the offensive line can be kind of deceiving. Give me your thoughts on what you thought from both ends, sides of the line, and also their bodies. Did you notice any change in weight, you know, muscle, all that?
Yeah, well, that's the first thing I was going to say is that, you know, I think the thing that really jumps out to you when you're looking and talking about the offensive and defensive lines are just the body types. I think that, you know, it's the first time, I feel like at least this is the first time in many, many years where Nebraska is probably pushing two or three deep on both sides of the line, offense and defense, where you've got, you know, when you're two or three deep of guys that look like Big Ten offensive or defensive linemen, I mean, just they've done a very, very good job of recruiting to a certain size and certain profile, where it seems like the large majority of all those players in that three deep, especially on offense, it seems like everyone is 6'5" or taller and 300 pounds or maybe even a little heavier and athletic. You know, I think there's not a whole lot of bad bodies out there. And it's been a long time since you could really say that. And so, you know, and just the overall depth is something that really stood out to me. I think, you know, they're both physical, but I didn't notice necessarily a huge drop off from the first to second units. And, you know, and there were some young guys too, especially on that defensive side, that really caught my attention. You know, Nash Hutmacher is somebody who was out there really controlling the middle of that that defensive line, you know, and making some plays out there. I think, you know, as a redshirt freshman, you know, that's somebody who's gonna push to see the field, even though he's theoretically third team. But I think that's a good problem to have if you're Tony Tuioti. You've got a lot of guys now that you could have in the rotation. Whereas when he first showed up, he may have only had, you know, maybe 5 to 6 guys he felt comfortable rotating in that three-man front. And now I'd be willing to say that he's probably got 10 to 12 guys that he feels comfortable being able to rotate in that three-man front. And that's a big deal. And that, you know, allows you to kind of keep guys fresh and maintain a certain level of play up front. So I was really impressed with what I saw out of the offensive and defensive lines. Definitely two units that are much more, I think, suited to play in the Big Ten than what we've seen previously under Frost.
Speaking to Nate Klaus, HuskerOnline.com. Nate, staying on the offense side of the ball, obviously we saw you had the quarterback to look pretty good, the receivers and the size, the athleticism. You know, something that stuck out to me was the two tight ends on that red side, in Allen and Vokolek, and their ability, one, to block but also catch the football in times. I think that's going to be a valuable part if they can figure out how to get those guys the football on the offensive side this year.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think you've got two big weapons there, and we've kind of known that those are two guys that could be a threat in the passing game, mm-hmm. but you know, I think over the past couple of years, it's been you know, a point of emphasis to to, you know, get their blocking up to snuff and to really, really kind of produce in that part of their game. And I think that they're finally there, and they feel, you know, very comfortable with what they can do both in the pass game and the run game. And, you know, when you can have somebody out there, at that position who, you know, who can be a threat, you know, and play theoretically all three downs, whether it's a run or a pass, you know, I think that's a good, it's a good weapon to have. And, you know, going forward, I think it's going to be a little difficult, you know, because now it seems like you've got a handful of wide receivers. You've got at least a couple tight ends, and you've got, you know, maybe a handful of running backs. You got a lot of weapons that you can utilize. You know, how are you going to kind of disperse those weapons from play to play? You know, so I'm really interested to see how that kind of shakes out in the fall. But most definitely, I think, you know, if you're Adrian Martinez, you got to feel pretty comfortable having a couple big targets at tight end like Vokolek and especially Austin Allen.
We're talking to Nate Klaus with HuskerOnline.com. Nate, it's clear there was a ton of recruits in town for the game. It was cool to see them, you know, sharing some videos on Twitter and social media like that. You know, give us some names who were at Memorial Stadium on Saturday that Husker fans should keep their eye on.
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, you always kind of point to the quarterbacks, right? So you had a four-star quarterback like MJ Morris from Atlanta that was in town, the first time ever visiting Nebraska, that just had a tremendous experience and somebody who's looking to get back to visit again, possibly take an official visit in the month of June if he doesn't make a decision beforehand. And I think Nebraska is sitting pretty good there. You know, I think a couple weeks ago it was kind of looking like, okay, this is going to be a Florida State, Nebraska, maybe Georgia Tech, you know, if he decides to stay home type of battle. Well, Florida State just picked up their second quarterback commit of 2022. And you know, so I think that essentially kind of takes them out of the equation. And so I get the feeling that Nebraska is the leader there. He also had a top target for the class of 2023, quarterback Reese Mooney, who is not ranked yet, but I think is going to end up being, you know, a four-star type of talent, you know, coming out of the state of Louisiana. He was in town with a four-star wide receiver, Shelton Sampson, who is ranked as the number 19 overall player in the country for 2023. You know, and it seems like Reese Mooney is already recruiting for Nebraska, you know, bringing along somebody like Shelton Sampson, who's, you know, one of the, arguably the top overall wide receiver in the country for next year's class. And so, you know, those are a couple players, right there, I think, that could be, you know, potential game changers for Nebraska, going forward. Then you had a guy like Jaron Koenig, and Gavin Myers out of Hayes, Kansas. Two talented defenders. Well, Jaron Koenig could play anything from wide receiver to linebacker. I think more teams are starting to look at his size and athleticism and say, okay, this is somebody who could be really disruptive on the defensive side of the football because he's 6'2", pushing 215 pounds, runs a 10-6, 100 meters. You know, he can jump out of the gym and is super strong. You know, I think he's somebody that could be, you know, a JoJo Doman type of guy, you know, with that type of versatility and playmaking ability, you know, or Nate Gary. You know, he reminds me of a Nate Gary type of guy, you know, coming out of high school. So I think he's a pretty exciting prospect. You know, Gavin Myers, too, you know, he's one of the top players in the state of Kansas. Kind of a thumper inside, you know, linebacker. He makes just a ton of plays in high school. Both of those guys absolutely loved it. It was their first visit as well. So I think that was, you know, one of the main themes from talking and catching up with a lot of these guys. That, hey, this is my first time getting to Nebraska, even though, you know, I'd been wanting to visit for so long, hadn't been able to with the dead period. And even though the dead period was still, you know, it's still in effect, you know, they were able to make it into the stadium and see the sea of red and get a feel for Husker Nation and what it might be like, you know, just a glimpse of what it might be like on game day. And it kind of hooked a lot of these guys. You know, they're pretty much everybody that I've spoken with says, you know, hey, I'm getting back there at some point in time. I can't wait to get back to Nebraska and, you know, to see what it's really like, you know, when the lights are on and it's a game day, and also when they can have face-to-face interaction with the coaches too, which starts in the month of June. So I think we're going to be hearing about a lot of these guys that are making their way back to Lincoln eventually.
Yeah, I think it's such a great point, Nate, because we've talked about this before, what the spring game recruiting tool can be. Because, again, you've seen a lot of those videos, like MJ Morris, for one, that put out OMG with the emojis. Yeah. Was like they had to be blown away by looking at, like, again, limited capacity, but 36,000 plus, they had to be going, what is going on, right? Like, that had to be a feeling for them.
Oh, yeah. It was surreal, is what a lot of the guys were saying. Just crazy. You know, a lot of them, they got to Lincoln early, and you know, they parked their vehicles and took a stroll around campus and kind of got a sense for everything and got into the stadium early, and then they just watched the fans start to pour in, and they knew it was going to be a limited capacity, but you know, just the guys, just, you know, almost to a man, said, you know, just the amount of energy that those 36,000 people brought to what is essentially a practice was just insane. They were completely blown away, and so you know, and I've talked about it with you guys before. That's something that Nebraska has been missing for the last 14, 15 months, is, you know, not being able to have recruits on campus and not being able to have the fans in the stands. It's been difficult. That's a huge selling point for this football program when it comes to recruiting. And, you know, and for them to finally get that back was a big deal. And like I said, a lot of those guys, just that little glimpse of having, you know, those 36,000 strong in the stands for the spring game, you know, kind of gave them just enough of a taste of what it might be like in a true game day when you got the stadium sold out, that they're all talking about trying to get back for a game in the fall.
Hey, Nate, going back to the defensive side of the ball a little bit, we got, you know, the unfortunate news, and you feel bad for a guy like Will Honus with his third major knee injury. Doesn't look good for him. You heard Coach Frost talk about it. You could almost feel the sadness when you talk about a leader and a vet that came back to play. But when you look past that, give us a name or two that is going to have to fill, because that might be the one thing on the defense. Because I thought the defense looked pretty strong. They're the strength coming out of camp, by the way, I believe, going into the fall. Just some guys that now are like, oh, Honus isn't there. Now who?
Well, yeah, you know, I think that when you lose, well, first of all, yeah, I feel terrible for Will Honus, you know, someone who decides to come back, even though he didn't have to, and you know, wanted to help this football team and play at a high level, and you know, and he was really playing some good football down the stretch last year. I think that he was playing at a pretty high level last year, so you know, I think everyone was pretty excited about, you know, what the possibilities could be of him. You know, and he sat out for most of the spring too, you know, just kind of taking it easy and nursing up a few injuries and just getting healthy. You know, this is someone who's been through it all before, so didn't necessarily need to get a ton of reps. And, so for him to get out there, right, you know, basically at the very end of spring ball and for this to happen, you just feel terrible for the guy. But, you know, I think you look beyond that and you go, okay, well, now this places a little bit more emphasis on a guy like a Chris Kolorovic, you know, the grad transfer from Northern Iowa, to play at a high level. You know, Luke Reimer obviously is going to have to really raise his game, and it may open the door for Nick Henrich to come in and to, you know, to show us what he can do too. I think that, you know, he's another one of those younger guys that was playing at a high level towards the end of last season. And, you know, unfortunately with this situation, you know, that could very well, you know, open the door and kind of catapult him into a situation where he's seeing a lot more reps than maybe he would have otherwise. And I think that he's somebody who's wired in such a way that he's certainly going to take advantage of that. I'm pretty confident of that.
We're talking to Nate Klaus with HuskerOnline.com. Nate, over the weekend, the NFL draft was going down. We had a few Huskers get their name called. Matt Farniok taken to Dallas, and Brendan Hymus got drafted by the Chargers. Give me your thoughts on both of them getting their name called.
Well, yeah, and, you know, those were the two guys I expected to get their names called, you know, over the weekend. And, you know, I didn't know exactly where they were going to go, but, you know, I knew that I felt really confident about them getting drafted. And, you know, and I look at it, I think those are two guys that have a chance to play in the league for quite a while. They carve out, you know, a good little pro career for themselves. You know, I'm interested to see exactly where Hymus gets placed at, you know, if the Chargers view him as their left tackle. You know, I think he's certainly athletic enough to do it. He's obviously, you know, broke all sorts of records at Nebraska in terms of, you know, consecutive starts or starts as a true freshman and consecutive starts in a career. You know, he had quite the impressive career, considering that he was thrown into it at such a early age. You know, early part of his career at Nebraska. So, and then Farniak, too, I think that he's got the ability, you know, he's an athletic guy, and maybe not athletic enough to play tackle, you know, moving him inside to guard last year, you know, I think that was just kind of a glimpse of what he could do at the next level, playing guard in the NFL. And like I said, I think that he's somebody who has the ability. He's got the body type you know, I think he's going to be able to carve out a good little professional career for himself at the next level as an interior offensive lineman.
Hey, Nate, something that obviously that you'll be watching and maybe you haven't, I know you will have an opinion on it, is now we're post-spring practice. When you look at that, and obviously there'll be meetings and there could be other players leaving, because it always typically happens after spring, a few weeks after. After watching what you got to watch and through your knowledge and the sources that you talk to, do you anticipate Nebraska going in the portal? And if so, what position groups?
Yeah, I would not be surprised if there are a couple names that enter the portal. I just think that's just kind of the way it is now. And it's not... I don't think it's an indictment on the program. I think it's just, you know, there's at certain positions, there's going to be the writing on the wall for a handful of guys that, hey, look, you know, it's going to be tough for you to maybe get the playing time that you want to get. And so if you're wanting to play some more, you know, you might have to explore your options elsewhere. And so I wouldn't be surprised if that were to happen. Nebraska does have two scholarships left, and fully expect them to take advantage of the portal to try and, you know, fill those remaining scholarships. Now, what positions? You know, that's the question, and I don't think it's going to come at quarterback. You know, I think following Luke McCaffrey's departure from the program, I feel like, you know, everyone kind of penciled in, okay, well, one of those two spots is definitely going to be a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. And mostly because, you know, I think that the backups, in Smothers and Harburg showed enough that they would, you know, that I think Nebraska feels fairly comfortable with those guys if something should happen to Adrian Martinez. But also, you know, to find, you know, what is essentially a backup quarterback in the portal is very difficult to do. Like I just mentioned, you know, it's usually the guys that are putting their names in the portal, they're looking for more playing time. They're not looking to go be the backup quarterback at a Power 5 school. So I just think that's going to be extremely difficult to do for them to find a quarterback in the portal that's willing to kind of take a back seat to Adrian Martinez. So I think it's the best man up, you know, best position, best player available that can potentially help this roster. And, you know, and I think, you know, whether that's maybe an outside linebacker or, you know, or maybe a running back. I don't know, you know, since there's still kind of some questions there. You don't know, you know, how Marquise Stepp is going to come back from that injury. You know, there's a lot of capable bodies, but, you know, can you really hang your hat on any of those guys just yet? I don't know. You know, can it be, you know, another defensive back, maybe a corner, or maybe even an inside linebacker now that Will Honus has kind of gone down? Not exactly sure, but I can tell you right now, I think Nebraska is going to try and find the very best, you know, players that are in the portal that could potentially help this team and go really hard after those guys.
Look, I totally agree with you on the quarterback room being the way it is, because I was and I think probably them, and I think they've mentioned this as well, I think they're pleasantly surprised at where Harburg is right now. I think he's ahead of schedule. I think that arm looked live. I think he's ahead of schedule.
Just listening to the coaches talk about him, I think they thought that they were going to have to correct a lot more than what they had to correct with him. From listening to Frost and Verduzco and those guys, they didn't have to really change a whole lot when it came to mechanics and whatnot. And we all knew it. The kid has a cannon for an arm. But for him to come in and for them to not have to retool a bunch of things mechanically, and basically just have his progression be more about the mental side of the game, learning to play the playbook and becoming comfortable with, you know, the signals and calling things and really just being a college quarterback. I think that they were really pleasantly surprised by that. And so now you've got two guys that I believe are more than capable. I think Nebraska was feeling pretty comfortable about. So I think that was a good development over the spring. Now, obviously nobody wants Adrian Martinez to go down, and that would be less than ideal. But I do think that the staff feels a little bit more comfortable with the current situation than maybe they did when they heard the news that McCaffrey was leaving the program.
Nate, man, it's always a pleasure, man. Thanks for jumping on with us. And the next time you do those wings, you'll have to let me know.
Yes.
I'll come over. And you have a neighbor you haven't met yet that's been texting me. Just moved in the neighborhood. He wants me to introduce you guys. So.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, let's hook it up.
Awesome. We'll do it, man. Thanks, Nate, man. Have a great week.
Okay, sounds good. We'll see you.
Nate Klaus right there, HuskerOnline.com. Always great stuff, man.
Yes.
Always good stuff. And I thought interesting perspective. I want to ask about the portal, the question, because we're going to have names.
Oh yeah,
that are going to depart. I mean, it happens everywhere, most places.
But you lose some, you always gain some.
Yep. So, interesting thoughts, and I agree with them. I think the quarterbacks is a situation they're going to stay away from.
Yeah, I had some good spring game thoughts as well. If you missed anything, it's up at ESPNLincoln.com after the show. If you want to listen to any of it. Nate's great, man.
Good stuff, man. Really,
he agreed with you when you said like Harburg
had a schedule.
Yeah, I mean, he looked okay. Best arm out of the guys behind Adrian.
I think so. All right, right now before we head out, it's going to be your chance to qualify. There it is, for that Memorial Day grill package. The Weber grill, the Weber brush, the rubs from Capitol Patio and Flame Shop, the $100 gift certificate to Leon's Grocers to get that meat for that grill. Also, $100 gift card as you hear the birds flying around that new setup with Campbell's Nursery. $100 gift card. Spruce it up around the grill. Let's do, they are already lighting up. They're ready to qualify, baby.
You want to do 10?
Let's do 10. Caller 10, here shortly. Caller 10, you will get qualified for the first time. We'll have another chance in the second hour. Coming up, we'll have West Trinity get 10. We're going to spin the wheel as well, and then we're going to talk some NFL after the break.